to me, beer is a lot like an orchestra. You just kind of want to, you know, everybody's got to hit their cues like at the right time. And when you do, you're making beautiful music.
Hello, happy new day. I'm in a great mood. I just got back from a trip to New York City / home, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get to go to any breweries because I was with my friends and, you know, weekend with them and kind of do what they want. As far as beer goes, an incredible trip. As far as life and friends and everything goes, also an incredible trip. But anyways, so welcome back to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast, a beer can lover production, the craft beer podcast for lovers of all things creative and visual, but not necessarily drinkable in the craft industry. I am your host, Jenna Steele, and I'm excited to be here. Really excited for the interview we're about to have. But also excited to be here next week and the next week and the next week. Don't you worry. I'm coming back every week. Don't you worry about it. Yeah, I'll be chatting with other beer can lovers, brewers, artists, and more. Chatting about artwork in the craft beer industry and label designs and, you know, tap room decor and the overall kind of marketing and vibe and feel and everything of breweries, which I just love. So if you want to hear the interviews coming up, which I promise, oh my God, I'm so excited about, click the like follow or subscribe button so that you're keeping up with me here and keeping up with all your beers. And then if you want to see always, because obviously this is a podcast, you cannot see what is going on. And so we do talk a lot about specific cans, breweries, and everything. And so like very specific labels and get really kind of down to the details. And so if you want to follow along with the episode and like see what we're talking about, I will be posting like images as like when the episodes are released. So that way you can always like kind of see what we're talking about and not have to really like look it up. So follow Beer Can Lover on Instagram for that. And then if you have any comments, questions, concerns, if you have a recommendation about who you might want to be on the show, if they're, you know, let me know your favorite brewery. I'll try to get them on. Let me know. Shoot me an email at pod@beercanlover.com. That's pod@beercanlover.com. And now for the good stuff. We get to get into my interview. I'm so excited. So today we have Alex Reyes from Three Sons in Dania Beach, Florida. And I'm super excited. I'm excited. Here we go. Well, hello, Alex. I'm so excited to have you here today because, well, I just love Three Sons cans and all the marketing and everything, really. And so you are the marketing. What's your position? Like, go ahead.
So I'm Alex Reyes. I'm the sales and marketing manager at Three Sons Brewing Company in Dania Beach, Florida. I am a Miami native. And yeah, I have a lot of fun at work. It's really, it's really laid back. It's a lot of fun. It's passion of mine to just bring joy to other people. So the fact to hear that you enjoy our cans and our beer, you know, it means the world to me. It makes it worth it.
Oh my gosh, 100%. Like, there's just a huge difference. And so I always want to get to know more about, like, you know, what goes on behind it. How do we get this? Was it just released? The Froze. Like, how do we get something super cool out there, and how does it come to be? So, but with that, we got to know more about you. So before we get to that all, I want to know more. You just said you're a Miami native, you're in Dania Beach. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you end up in the industry? Are you a marketing person first, beer person second, beer person first, marketing person second? How'd that happen?
So I never really thought that I would ever be in sales or marketing. About four years ago, or 5 years ago, really, around the time that Jay Wakefield opened in Miami. It's the closest brewery to me. And it was, it is still to this day one of my favorite breweries. I love the beer that comes out of there and the people that work there. And so I was a regular. And I hung out at the bar, and I would always ask them, like, oh, you know, when are you going to hire me? Like, when are you going to have a job for me? They thought I was kidding until one day they had an opening for a cellarman and a packaging technician. And I sent them my resume, and they were like, oh, wait a minute. Like, you're serious? We always thought you were just kind of kidding. So I left my job in social media to go work at Jay Wakefield back in 2017.
And what were you
so
doing?
I actually got my start in.
What were you doing in social media?
Production. Also, I worked for a company here in South Florida on their the Clorox account. So Clorox was launching on a lot of social media. So I was part of the team that worked on the Clorox brands. You'd be surprised to learn they have everything from part of Glad trash bags to Hidden Valley Ranch. All of those are Clorox products.
Yeah, one of those companies that. Have you seen that like diagram of like the 10 companies that actually just own the whole world?
Yeah, no, definitely. They're actually on the smaller side in comparison to some of them, but they're absolutely a conglomerate for sure.
Yeah, cool. So you took social media and you were like, no, I want to work here.
Wanted to work in beer.
Yeah. And so when you started working there, as you said, cellarman and packaging stuff, was that
so
like?
So my background was actually in production. I loved it. It was great to, it felt good. It felt like honest work. You know, you're working with your hands. I'd spend all day in the back cleaning kegs, filling kegs, treating beers. And then at the end of the day to walk out into the tap room and to see people enjoying my hard work, it was very, very satisfying. It was very fulfilling. And I loved doing it. But shortly after I started there, they needed a salesperson. And they approached me and offered me the opportunity to do it. So I kind of had one foot in production and one foot in sales for about half a year before fully becoming the sales director at the brewery and handling all volume sales in the state of Florida. And I was doing that until 2020. And then that's when I joined Three Sons.
And what was the decision to switch over to Three Sons?
It was an opportunity at the moment to take on some different responsibilities and some different challenges. Felt like I had more room to grow there.
So I first off love what you said about, it was hard work, but then, when you would walk out and see people actually enjoying it. And I think that's the fun thing about craft beer always is like, it's just the labor of love. What is it? What's that saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a labor of love for sure.
Yeah, but then that immediate satisfaction of not only getting to like try it, but also just share it with people. And it's just so much fun. What was the first beer you ever drank? Let's go like all the way back. Like, ooh, do you remember? Do you remember? Yeah.
It was probably something macro like Budweiser, Miller. But my first brand that I was kind of like into was definitely Miller High Life. I remember drinking quarts of Miller High Life back when I was barely old enough to drink.
Uh-huh. And do you remember like the first time you tried craft beer or went to a craft brewery or kind of saw that side of things?
Yeah. So, I mean, craft beer kind of got to South Florida a little late. We didn't really have our first brewery until 2013, our first brewery tap room until 2015. Before that, like I live in the city of Miami. Before that, we would have had to drive either to Tampa or down to like Homestead to visit a brewery. And before that, I always liked beer. I've always enjoyed beer a lot. I would visit a lot of like German beer bars around town. In South Beach, there used to be Hofbräu and Coral Gables. There's still Fritz and Franz. And so, I would visit those, especially with my cousin from the West Coast, Ignacio. Whenever he would come over in the summer, we would definitely frequent those places. And I always loved trying all different kinds of beer. I wasn't the kind of person that, judge the beer by its color. Like if, I love dark beers, I love light beers. It really didn't make a difference to me. It was just, was it well-crafted? Did it taste good? That kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I think I'm kind of the same way. I like to try a bunch of different things. I don't like, I mean, I'm not in this for my love of drinking beer necessarily. I do, but yeah, definitely. I love trying different styles. I think, you know, even learning about all the different styles that you're not just trying normally if you're not kind of seeking out different types of beer. Like, I think I tried my first lambic beer and I just got so excited. I was like, I don't know if I like this at all, but I'm excited about it. So now that you're in the industry, do you have any other hobbies? Because I know kind of beforehand, beer was like just a regular hobby as it is for anyone just drinking. But do you have any other hobbies that...
Yeah, outside of beer, I mean, I'm really just kind of a nerd. I love history, documentaries. I'm big into like philosophy, stuff like that. A little bit of video games, not too much. I will admit that with like beer being such a big part of my life, it's kind of hard to find the work-life balance because, you know, in a sense, I kind of escape into my work.
Yeah. I think, yeah, for me, definitely there's no work-life balance now. It's just, this is just becoming what everything. But I'm thinking back to, you know, you were mentioning in Fort Lauderdale and Miami, the breweries. I think the only brewery that I've been to there, I stopped by very quickly to grab a drink with my like class I was in. We went to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, Lauderdale for sure.
Yeah, I remember being like, "Wait, what's it called? What's it called?" Like, I didn't understand. It was like Lauderdale, not Lauderdale. You know, and that was a lot of fun. I had a, I did this. Because they're like right off the pier or like right on a pier or something. And I had been doing, I used to work on boats and hopefully in the future I'll still be, you know, working on some yachts and stuff. But I had to do my certifications for it. And part of that was firefighting. And so it was really intense. And so I was on the, it was the, you know, on the Fort Lauderdale pier there. Literally firefighting with the Miami-Dade firefighting whatever. And after the last day, it was probably the hardest day of my life, probably almost passed out a couple times. They kind of had to tell me to stop. The jacket weighs like 180 pounds. Those hoses are really heavy. Like I couldn't really keep up even though I was trying. I never backed out, but they kind of pulled me out at the end there. But so afterwards they bring us to we all go to Fort Lauderdale and I'm like half, we're all just drenched in sweat, half dead. I'm rushing to leave, but I'm just like, this beer could be so bad, but I've never tasted anything so good after like literally firefighting in the hot sun on the pier there. So I want to know more about like all of the, you know, marketing and creative side of Three Suns. So when you first got there, you said in 2020, I mean, I guess it was an essential business, so always open, but were you able to start right away, like in the brewery, or did you have to remote it?
No, yeah, I definitely started right away in the brewery. The brand itself sort of went through like a mild kind of rebranding that summer. We totally revamped the look of our can art. If you look at the can art previously, well, first of all, the brewery is very young. It's a pretty established brand in Florida and around the world.
When did they first open?
So the brewery opened its doors in 2019, but Three Suns had been winning awards at festivals around the world since 2015. In 2015, Three Suns took home People's Choice first place brewery and beer for Hunapu's Day in Tampa.
Oh, wow.
And then also repeated that 2016.
How are they doing that without the brewery open yet? Was it
homebrew? Corey was homebrewing, and then he started brewing at Cycle in St. Pete.
Cool. Okay, so who are the Three Suns?
The Three Suns are actually Corey's three sons. That's who the brewery is named after. It's sort of his legacy.
Oh, I love that. Does he have any daughters?
No, he's okay, only got three boys. Okay,
I was
going to
say, if there were there were three boys and a daughter, I'd be like, Dad, what the hell? that makes sense. Yeah, I'm like trying to scroll back as far as I can in the Instagram to see. All right, when is this from? Oh, December 10th, 2019.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so the logo hasn't changed, but yeah, definitely. Definitely like what's going on today a bit better.
It's a little bit cleaner. It's a little bit more dynamic. The big jump was getting an artist on board. You know, it's very important. I remember speaking with the brewer from Sideward, and he was telling me, you know, like, if you're opening a brewery today, the most important things are you got to obviously have a brewer who can make the beer. You need to have an artist to do your labels, and you need to have a canning line. So you got cans to put those labels on.
Yeah. So tell me about, do you have one artist? Are there multiple? And how did you go about finding them? And like, what were you looking for?
So, we have one artist, and then we also have an in-house designer. So the artist will do like the illustrations and stuff. So that's definitely kind of what we were looking for in an artist is, somebody who does really good illustrations. And then the designer is really more about just kind of like formatting the label. So like where the description goes, you know, where our logo goes, size of the logo, stuff like that.
Cool. So what is like, you know, so I know when you got there, they're going through kind of a bit of a rebranding, but what did that entail? Like how, like was that just, you know, I can clearly kind of see it with, you know, the can decisions and everything, but what about like the brewery itself? Like what is like the tap room? Like how's the, did it have anything to do like the vibe when you walk in, like kind of the feel you're trying to create? Like,
well, in a sense, we actually wanted to bring more of our tap room feel to our cans. The tap room does such a good job of representing the brand. It's very street art focused. And a lot of our beers are like hip hop and street art references. So we wanted to bring more of that to the brand so that we could bring it to the people and people could recognize us as that. We have, you know, artists from all over who have pieces there. A-Hole Sniffs Glue has a piece there. Aske has a piece there, just to name a few.
And when you say have a piece there, you mean like in at the brewery?
Yeah, piece of art. Yeah, like they did a wall. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I love when there's artwork on the walls and like graffiti and not like in a graffiti way, but that just kind
of have like
I love like colorful and fun. Like,
yeah, you got to come visit us, Jenna, for sure.
Absolutely. Check it out. We, I have to immediately.
You have this one wall with a big green gorilla on it. And so we made a beer called Green Gorilla, and we took that same art off the wall and put it on the label.
That's so much fun. I love that. Like, that's like, you know, that's kind of just the part of the industry that excites me the most is that, you know, if people locally like can come, it's such a different, unique place to be, but also, you know, great food and beer, but then can take it home and have a piece of that kind of in their fridge. So it's like, you know, the trip to the brewery didn't end there. Mm-hmm. So do you know like how the decision came to be to have like, you know, all of that artwork on the walls and use different artists to do that? Like,
that's honestly, that's just Corey's like personality and interest. In a lot of ways, I think that the craft beer world, you know, is often dominated by these celebrity brewers, and the breweries themselves are then an extension of their personality.
Yeah, absolutely. So were any of the award-winning beers then brought, and are any of them like current staples with the brand? Or
staples, not so much, because the award-winning beers were, you know, barrel-aged stouts for the most part.
Gotcha.
So we do still release them. One of our biggest releases year-round, or not year-round, but year-in, year-out, is Summation, which is our coffee vanilla stout. We've done several collaborations with other breweries that do takes on it, specifically like Bottle Logic. We did a Summation Observation, which had, you know, 10 times more vanilla in it. You know, yeah.
That's so much fun. So when you're coming out with a new beer, what does that look like? Are you, you know, does the beer exist first? Does the label exist? Does the name exist first? Like, what does that look like?
Conceptualizing these beers is, first and foremost, is a lot of fun. But really, that's what it is you're trying to conceptualize it. So it's hard to say, you know, what comes first. Typically, generally, we'll kind of have an idea of like a style that we want to produce. Once we have an idea of the style that we want to produce, you know, we start talking about ingredients. And when we talk about ingredients, that's when we start to get inspiration for beer names. And then from beer names is kind of like how we develop the label. So depending on, you know, the ingredients, we'll try and get a name. Sometimes it's a pun. A lot of times it's a music reference. And then from there, from the beer name itself, we then try to, how do you visualize that name? Like, how do you bring it? How do you take these words and make it a picture?
Yeah, cool. And like, with that said, so, okay, I'm looking at Dopealicious. No, Dope mm-hmm. Shake.
That one's a staple. Dopealicious is a, you know, that one we make, we produce that one frequently. It's generally in stock.
Wait, and this is the purple can?
Well, so there's a few different dopes, right? So there's Dopealicious, which is in the green can. We recently released it for Memorial Day weekend with sort of like a USA flair.
Okay, I see that one, yeah.
Yeah, you got like a little American flag and you know, the three is a little different. And then Double Dopealicious is the imperial or double version of dope, coming in at about 9.2% ABV. And then for that one, we really, you know, we kind of wanted to do something different to differentiate it from dope. And so we took a lot of inspiration from the Miami Heat, their uniform colorways. So when they were doing the Vice colorway, we did that. And then they did the Vice Versa, which had to kind of blend. So we applied that colorway to the label. So that's kind of the direction we take with it. For the Dope Shake, which is the milkshake version of Dopealicious.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's kind of like a remix, we wanted to sort of, again, like draw on the musical influences that we like so much. And we kind of wanted to make the label look Chopped and Screwed, which is a style of music that originated in Houston, Texas.
What is it called?
By a DJ. Chopped and Screwed.
Chopped and Screwed. I am not a big music person. Like, I'm not allowed on aux in any friend group that I'm in. Like, literally just not allowed on it. I don't know anything really about music. And so I don't get any music references. So I feel like, like Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
What is, that's a reference I should probably know. Yeah.
Well, it's a reference to a 1990s movie. Well, it's a reference to a few things. It's inspired by a 1990s movie called Boys in the Hood.
Okay, that sounds like something familiar, but.
Yeah. It had Ice Cube. Ice Cube starred in it. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s in it. I think it was released in 1992, and it's basically the story of growing up in South Central Los Angeles in the 1980s. Cool. You know, friends grow up, they become estranged, they come back together, you know, worlds collide kind of thing. So, yeah, it's just a play on words. And then, of course, like that movie then inspired a bunch of songs and even rap groups and all kinds of things. So the beer itself is really just a play on the title of that song, since we were using Boysenberries and I believe blackberries.
I love that. And so, yeah, that makes gives the purple a home. Mm-hmm. And so who loves cars? Someone over here has got to be the car guy. Because there's cars all over these. Yeah. Are any of them his?
No. Not at the moment. No. But yeah, he definitely loves American-made cars. So they feature prominently. We did do a Dope Down Under, so we wanted to have sort of that safari car. We do have a few other dopes up our sleeve. So keep your eyes out for some more car labels.
Yeah. And so, you know, when these are coming together, are you thinking at all about, I don't know how much you sell out of to-go cans out of the tap room, but are you thinking at all about, you know, what is this going to look like on a shelf or, you know?
No, I'm not thinking about a shelf at all. I'm thinking about Instagram, actually. I'm thinking like, how is it going to, you know, how's the beer can next to a pour going to look on someone's feed?
I love that.
Is it going to look pretty? Are they going to tag us?
Yeah.
As a small business, you know, you try to capitalize on the advantages that you have.
Yeah, 100%.
You make some pretty cool looking beers. So.
Absolutely.
I think that a lot of the industry actually, I mean, maybe we don't like to admit it, but I think a lot of the industry is actually driven by Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, you know, over the past even like 10 years or so, I'd say, and something I saw a lot, I was in the hospitality industry in like real estate. And what I had seen is, you know, over the time, like with a lot of hotels, it's you know, I don't know what to call it other than like, you know, an Instagrammable location. Like, do you have an Instagrammable lobby or, you know, rooftop? If you have a great rooftop bar, but people aren't like dying to go there just for the picture, your drinks can be as good as they can be, but it really drives marketing. And it's crazy to think, it's just funny as a consumer too, how many places I've been because I've been like, oh, that'll be a cute picture. I'm like, I'm like, oh, that's a terrible reason to choose anything. But as a consumer, but like, it works, you know, from a marketing standpoint, like it works. Yeah. I mean, clearly what is my Instagram, but pictures of beer cans and me holding beer. I'm curious, you know, you said you have a couple new dopes coming out. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? Like what are they ready to drink? Are they, you know, in production? And do you yet know what those are going to look like?
Oh, they're pretty far down the line. We do have a double dope and a grapefruit double dope coming out in a couple of weeks. And then we have some more like specialty dopes coming out later on, August, September.
So what is the dope line?
So that's really like, it's primarily our Citra and Mosaic IPA.
All right.
So all dopes will contain Citra and Mosaic, but then there'll be some variety of it. We recently did a dope rider, which was inspired by Knight Rider and our assistant brewer, Michael Ferguson, who looks like he came straight out of the 80s. he's on the beer can, he's on the label, sitting next to the kit, to the actual car from Knight Rider on the label. And it's got this really cool, snazzy 1980s vibe to it with like the, you know, Tron floor and like silhouetted palm trees.
That's awesome. Yeah. So how long does it, you know, typically take? I mean, maybe there's some that you have that, you know, you just wait to release because of timing or something, but how long does, you know, from concept to, you know, beer in hand, can launch, et cetera. Like how long does that usually take? I mean, depending on the beer, it makes a difference, but you know.
Production itself usually is about, depending on the style of beer, it could be anywhere from like a 2-week turnaround on most of our ales. The higher ABV stuff can take a little bit longer to ferment out. So that might be to ferment out and condition, and that might be about a 3-week turnaround. And then my favorite beer that we produce, Ocean Park Pilsner, the Pride of Dania Beach, that one takes about 5 weeks during production. The tricky thing is really, though, just kind of scheduling these beers because we have to, while we are, like, we're a small business, but the business has a few segments. So there's obviously the kitchen, which produces top-notch food, not your average brewery or bar food. I mean, it's all very elevated.
It looks so good. It looks so good.
It's incredible. I mean, what other brewery serves char-grilled octopus or a swordfish Reuben with all the condiments made in-house?
Tuna tacos.
We were actually featured on Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, really?
On the season finale for the last season. Yeah.
Back in September, I think it was. I have to watch that.
Yeah, it's great. The executive chef at the time, Nikolai, was showcasing our dashi butter wings, which is like an interesting take. It's like, what if buffalo wings came from Japan? So it's like... you know, buffalo sauce is really like a cayenne pepper hot sauce and butter. And so this is like butter and then like a wasabi kind of sauce. So,
oh my God, that literally sounds so good. I've been like cooking all my meals lately and I'm like, I'm a shit cook. I want all of that.
So the business has a few different segments. There's obviously the kitchen and the tap room. And so we have to, we have a different set of customers in the tap room than we have that do a lot of takeaways. So for the tap room, you know, we have a really, really big lunch crowd. And our number one sellers in the tap room are typically low ABV, very sessionable, easy drinking beers like the Ocean Park Pilsner and Antique Alley Amber Ale. For takeaway sales, the people that come in and will take like a case or two home with them, those people are generally looking for our higher ABV stuff. And so they're, you know, they're pulling our double IPAs, our imperial fruited sours, and our imperial stouts. So we have to balance them. And then on top of that, then there's the wholesaling aspect of the business, trying to keep draft lines filled and shelves stocked. So it's really a balancing act when it comes to trying to scheduling, because it's one facility producing beer for these three different segments. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a giant balancing act on deciding what beer gets put when. So, I mean, we have ideas for beers, you know, 6 months out, which is great. And it's actually, I don't know how typical that is of a lot of breweries. You know, I know a lot of places that don't know what they're brewing, you know, 3 weeks from now. You know, it's a really a lot of just like spur of the moment inspiration kind of thing. So to really be able to sit down and plan ahead is a definite boon for us. It's definitely very advantageous, and it affords us a lot of opportunities that I think a lot of other people kind of leave on the table by not, you know, sitting down, applying themselves and looking forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to remain flexible. You have to remain flexible because things change all the time. You know, while brewing is a science, sometimes it can seem like the yeast might have a mind of its own. there are logistical considerations, ingredients get held up, you know, all kinds of things can happen. So you definitely have to remain flexible. And at the same time, though, you got to keep your eye on the prize and stay the course and try to, you know, meet those goals that you have set for yourself.
Yeah. So one thing that I, you know, just personally love, is whenever a can doesn't just have a regular, you know, black can top thing. And I see that, and you guys have, and I know that it says something about like, it, maybe it's like made of cardboard or something. So it's like sustainable.
Yeah, it's biodegradable.
And that's awesome. But from a, I mean, it's just different. And from a marketing standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, I just like things as a consumer that are different and that, you know, stand out. And I think, and that honestly would make me pull it from a shelf. But so whose idea was that? Was that your idea? Like, no, how did that come
a lot
to
of the
be?
Credit. Yeah. A lot of credit for the new 4-pack holders, goes to, our director of operations, Dustin Jeffers. He formerly worked at Saltwater Brewing, and he actually pioneered, their not only biodegradable, but actually, edible by wildlife, 4-pack carriers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and like, they have your logo on them.
Yeah. So these particular ones, we sourced them from, West Rock. And when we were doing them, obviously, as soon as I caught wind that we were switching our 4-packs over and we were going to be doing these cardboard holders that are biodegradable, there's obviously an opportunity for branding there. And so I thought it was very important to sort of create that like hexagon pattern to have the three all over it, because we want that to be how people recognize us. We don't want the need to have the words Three Sons Brewing, Dania Beach, Florida. We want people to see that hexagon and that three and immediately like, oh yeah, that's Three Sons Brewing from Dania Beach, Florida.
I love that. And I mean, definitely in combination, just like with what you guys have going on in the, with the can art and everything. And I just love your, I love the artist that you guys work with. Whiskey, can
yeah,
you stop
he's great.
It, please? sorry. And so I also wanted to talk about, your bottles and the wax. Mm-hmm. So the, how do you pronounce it? The Big Sexy?
Big Sexy Barley Wine.
Big Sexy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this line is just so much fun looking. It looks like the like baseline one kind of doesn't have the wax on it. I don't know. Is that
right? Yeah. The base doesn't have the wax and then the three treatments, all come waxed.
Yeah. So,
black, pink and yellow.
Yep. So there's the black, pink, and yellow wax on these, and it, I mean, just pours down. I don't know if all of them pour down that much. Yeah, it looks like it, and it looks like, you know, on some you've done the purple before, and I love colorful wax on bottles. Like, it makes me so
absolutely.
Happy. So is that, you know, is that for you trying to show that, you know, these are a premium product, or, you know, just, you know, to add on to the visual aspect? Like, how do you view that? And, you know, what's the decision when to and when not to Oh, this one is like gold.
Oh, you're looking at a Noah JBM
35? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, my God.
That has to be one of the sexiest labels we ever did.
This is incredible.
The label itself is actually textured. So when you touch it, like, you can feel the... Yeah, yes. Wait.
When's the decision to bottle versus can? When's the decision to, you know, use the cool wax, not to, and et cetera?
It's driven by beer style. So when we're doing an imperial stout or a barley wine, it's going to go into a glass bottle, 375 milliliter or 500 milliliter. If it's not barrel aged, we may package some of it in 750 milliliter bottles. In ounces, that would be 11.7, 16.9, and 25 ounce bottles. So the decision is driven by style. And the imperial stouts will go into glass bottles and they will get waxed if they're barrel aged. If they're not barrel aged, they won't get waxed. The only exception is Big Sexy Barley Wine. The base didn't get waxed. Again, because we wanted to differentiate the treatments from the base.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of the big thing is when we wax it, we definitely want to differentiate it from other product segments that we have and also highlight that it is a premium. Corey actually waxes most of them himself. We even have a little insignia, like a signet that we put onto the top of the wax. So they all have the hexagon and the three at the top. And he's actually super particular. They all drip a little bit, but they're all going to have one very long drip to the bottom.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask because, you know, that seems to be across all the ones that I'm seeing, but, and it just looks so cool. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think I also just happened to yesterday see that you guys did a collaboration with, Untitled?
Yeah, we have a collab with Untitled Arts coming up. That should be released either later this month or early next month. I believe it's actually a family member bottle, so you have to be a member of our bottle club to receive it. This time around for Volume 3, we've kind of decided that we want to make all of the releases for the club collaborations. We're very fortunate in that Corey has, in his time brewing, has made friends with a lot of really, really great brewers all around the world. And so we're able to call on them and work together to try and, you know, create these delicious beers and deliver them to a thirsty public.
Yeah, absolutely.
So cool. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. And I love Untitled because, they have a big focus on the artists and the artwork and everything with that. So do you know how the labeling is coming to be?
Like, I don't know yet. I don't have any secrets to spill just yet.
All right. Well, I want the secrets, but I guess I'll have to let you have some. How do you guys look at, you know, trends in the industry? And I mean, I don't know how it really works with brewers, but like, when did, you know, I don't know when these smoothies like became a thing, but next thing I know, I'm drinking them. And so I don't know what the next trend is or, you know, how does that work? Like, are you immediately trying to hop on that? Are you, you know, sitting back trying to, you know, kind of see what works and what doesn't first? How does that work?
We're a brewery that definitely prides itself on innovation and sort of pushing the envelope and taking beer to places that it's never been, maybe some places that it shouldn't go. But
you don't know if you don't try.
You don't know if you don't try, yeah. And so, I mean, we definitely just kind of keep our ear to the ground, you know, being heavily involved in the industry. We like to see, like, what our friends are doing, what are they making, how are people receiving it. Great resource. I mean, I hate to admit it, our trading boards, what are people trading for? What do people want?
Mm.
It's a great indicator of demand, you know, what's getting shipped.
Is there anything that you're seeking out?
Me, not really. I've kind of,
you're like, we got all the best beer right here. No need to worry.
Yeah. I've kind of fallen into like a lager lull and, I'm just,
so many people are saying that recently. You're like the fourth person in the past 3 days that are like, you know, I'm on a big lager kick right now.
They're just, you know, it takes me back. It reminds me of, you know, when I first started drinking. And, you know, they're just very easy drinking and crushable. And you don't really have to worry too much about overdoing it. My actual favorite style of beer are barrel-aged pastry stouts. I love those. But you can only have so much of it. But, yeah, I definitely like those. Big fan of Bottle Logic and what they're doing. Love their stouts. Forager, they're fantastic. Their stouts are some of the best in the country. And I think often overlooked by a lot of people just because they're so small. But they do some really, really great stuff.
Who is it, did you say?
Forager, out of Minnesota.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, they're great. You know, Omnipollo is always doing cool stuff, and they bring their A game to festivals.
Yeah, so with your job, like, what is your kind of day-to-day like? Like, what is, you know, marketing and sales manager for a brewery? What are you doing? Like, besides sneaking beers in the fridge.
I'm naming beers and selling them.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I forgot who I was talking to, but I was speaking to somebody and they were telling me, like, oh, you know, marketing is so difficult. And I guess maybe because, you know, I'm a consumer of craft beer. Like, you know, I know what I would like to drink and what I would like to buy. Mm-hmm. So that kind of really just drives a lot of, like,
yeah, I feel I feel like from a marketing standpoint, like, if you're not a consumer of it or, like, looking for it, it's like, well, that's so random. Like, their hands are random. Like, what is even on it? Like, how do you do that? And I can see how that's confusing. But once you're a consumer, it's kind of like, it can kind of be anything. Just make it fun.
Yeah.
Like, it
yeah.
could be literally anything. Just make it fun.
Yeah.
And puns are always good.
Yeah, I think that's what comes through. I think if like you and your team are having a good time and you guys are all really enjoying coming up with things, it's really about like bouncing ideas off of each other. And I think it's really important when doing that. Like, you have to allow people the space to say whatever it is that's coming to their mind. If you're one of those, if you're a naysayer, if you just say no to everything that people say, you're stifling creativity. Like, maybe it's not the perfect idea there, but there's something in there that you can pull out of it that is the hit you're looking for.
Yeah, totally. So with, you know, all of the beers that, well, first off, how many do you know have you released since starting there?
Well, we average about like, the average is 2 new brands a week. So you could say 8 brands a month, maybe like 90 something different beers.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's the other fun thing about the industry is like there's never a lull in like content or just new stuff, which just makes it exciting.
But it also creates some pressure too, though.
Yeah, it's like, well, I just came out with 50 amazing things. You want more? Come on. I'm like, yes, yeah, so, no, I mean, I'm still thirsty. Thank you.
Yeah, we take it about 2 months at a time. You know, we meet at least once a week to discuss the, you know, scheduling the brews and then working on, you know, the names, the concepts, mm-hmm. and getting the labels produced and making sure everything. It's a lot like, for me, it's a lot like beer. I feel like it's like an orchestra. You know, beer is a lot like an orchestra. You just kind of want to, you know, everybody's got to hit their cues like at the right time. And when you do, you're making beautiful music, which is why it's so fun to work at a brewery that's inspired by music.
Yeah.
So I think they go hand in hand.
I love that analogy. I've never heard someone say it like it's like an orchestra before. So with, you know, you said you meet about once a week and, you know, it's really like an orchestra and collaborative process, like, and you guys are having fun. Do you have a favorite memory associated with a particular single beer that you guys have done?
Yeah. So I think my favorite or the most significant one to me, we recently released, is called The Big Three. And that is a collaboration with Permanent Hangover, a couple of artists.
Are you a basketball guy?
Yeah. No, I'm definitely like a hometown guy. So I love the Miami Heat. I love the Miami Dolphins, Miami Hurricanes. So Yeah, that one was really cool to me because it was just really cool to be involved with, to work with Permanent Hangover to bring this idea to life. It's going to be part of like a running project. So this is actually just the first installment. And we're working on having another two installments to it. And again, just kind of like looking for that synergy. You know, we're three sons, the big three, you know, where's the crossroad, the intersections of, you know, craft beer, you know, pop culture, sports, yeah, music, whatever. It's all about looking for those intersections and then trying to make it fun, make it relatable.
Yeah, I love it. And I love the glassware too for that one. It's just,
yeah,
it just,
you like his stats?
His what?
His stats.
Oh, that's too funny. I didn't even read that.
He has like a 4.7 chug. That's pretty good.
Yeah, wait, what is it? Let's see. Total beers ticketed something, average beers per day, 7.5.
Dedicated.
Trades completed, 260. Oh, yeah, chug speed, 4.4 seconds.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So what is, what do you know what your chug speed is?
Ooh, you know, it varies and it's changed. I can say, and this is probably going to be controversial, but I have the video evidence. I beat Brett Romberg and DJ Williams in a shotgun.
I don't know who that is. Are they?
they were NFL players.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. unfortunately, I'm not. You know, I don't do the football thing. Which, whatever.
Football and beer go hand in hand.
I know, that's why it's a problem. but so I was gonna say, do you think you could beat me in a shotgun contest? But given what you just said, I'm gonna say probably yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident in my skills. I don't know how well you shotgun, but again,
I thought I was so good at it. I used to always like pride myself on it, and I didn't realize I was like pouring half of it out. and no one would ever call me out on it because, you know, this was like in college, everyone's, you know, drunk doing their own thing. And then I was doing like an Instagram shotgun contest, and I couldn't do it in like my street or anything. Like I couldn't go outside, and I didn't want to just do it like on my floor. So I was like in my bathroom, and I recorded this, and I mean, I haven't done this in years, and I opened it and I pointed it the wrong way. Oh. And I had beer everywhere. And I was like, well, I'm not redoing this. Like this is what it is. So it's not a real timed effort. Because half of it just right on the floor. and I did actually try it one more time, and that one I then was like full of what my like, yeah, you know, 32 ounces or whatever. So I was like, we're not doing this a third time. The world can see me pouring half of it out, whatever.
well, I'll tell you what, do you wanna do it now? Do you wanna go head to head right now on the show?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll grab one. Are you going 16 ounces?
I'm going 16 ounces.
Okay. Let me go grab one.
Okay. Cool.
And a towel.
Always, never forget a towel.
Okay. So
are we going to stand for this?
I need to stand for this personally.
How do you like to pop it? I like to have the hole at the top of this part. You know what I'm saying? How do you do
it? You do it like...
I like to pull my tab down. Yeah, I like to pull my tab down.
Oh, well, I have long nails right now, so I kind of can't even do this. So I'll have to use the key. Okay, so I was planning on doing something funny with this can, because look at it. It's like called socially distanced. And it's like you've got some...
it looks like a Zoom call.
Yeah, it's like a group Zoom. And then like this... this Pilsner over here.
What's up with that Pilsner lotion?
I think it's supposed to be... oh, wait. Let me change the view.
Like sanitizer?
So that this makes more sense. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be sanitizer.
yeah, I like to pop down. Some people like to pull up.
I get scared. Okay.
Got it?
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, we gotta open. We gotta open. Okay, and there's beer everywhere already. Okay, so okay, wait, you pull it down. All right.
Yeah, I like to pull it down. Some people
okay,
prefer to pop the tab up.
Wait, I have to prepare in my head which way to tilt it because we know I messed that up. We're gonna tilt it this way. Okay. Three, okay. Two, one.
Great job. Did you finish?
There's a lot on the floor. Oh, wait, no, it's still in here. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. So relieving.
No, me too. Okay, I don't know how...
It's the best feeling.
No, I think I'm getting better. I think you won because mine was fake because there's so much on the floor. But...
Well, yeah, I would like to point out not a drop spilled.
How?
Professional.
How do people do that?
I'm a professional.
Yeah, I guess I gotta... I'm not pro. Oh, did you see how much... Did you see how much just poured out on the floor again?
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Good thing you brought a towel.
Oh, my God, I know. Okay, well, hopefully someone just enjoyed this live virtual shotgun contest. I did not win. I mean, I did not win. Are we surprised? No. So I never know. Okay, I grabbed that like Pilsner. It was like 5% something. What were you drinking?
Okay, Antigalli. It's our house amber ale, a simpler beer from a simpler time. Just basic four ingredients. No frills, nothing fancy. Just a good, cleanly drinking amber ale.
Nice.
5.4%.
Because I never know when people are like, oh, it's so crushable or it's like so drinkable. I'm like, I know you're talking about some like barley wine, but I don't know what's what. Like, I don't know what, because like I can chug an IPA,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think any beer can get chugged.
You're like, anything's chuggable. Do not worry about it. But like, what do people even mean like when they say that?
So like easy drinking is typically, I mean, of course, you know, different things can be easy to drink to different people and difficult to drink to some other people. But generally, the elements that it has in common, easy to drink beers are typically lower in ABV, so under 5.5%, definitely under 6%. They're typically kind of dry, so they don't have a lot of residual sugar in it. They're kind of crisp. And then a good way of describing it is that they're inoffensive. They don't really like go overboard with the hops. Mm. Some people really enjoy hops, but some people, it's off-putting. They don't go overboard with like the fruit. It could be a little too sweet or off-putting for some people. So generally, you find the easy drinking beers are moderate ABV, light body.
Cool. Thank you for that. Just didn't helping me out here. So, okay, a couple more things I want to touch on, and then we've been going for over an hour. Here, so I want to let you go.
It was like 5 minutes.
New best friends. That's what I always love. I'm like, oh, I looked down and it was like run an hour and 11 minutes. I was like, oh shit, whoops. So yeah, it's like, you know, talking about beer. How could that be work?
It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, you're like every day. It's what I do. So okay, a couple more questions. So. One, how do you like to drink your beer? Do you ever drink from the can if you're not shotgunning? Are you ever a can or bottle person? Are you always like, gotta have my glass? Like, what are you like?
Well, I'm fairly easygoing. I don't mind drinking out of a can. It kind of depends on the circumstances. Yesterday, Corey, myself, and G-Money, who's our social media coordinator, I work very closely with him. We went out to this pizza and beer place, and they had an event called Wizard Stick Wednesday, where you tape your beer cans together and you make a wizard stick. And every like third beer is free, and every seventh beer you get a free pizza. And so
what? Even I could do seven beers, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's not that it's undoable. It's very doable. But yeah, so like I noticed that I was kind of lagging behind. You know, they were finishing their beers a little bit quicker than me. My beers were getting a little warm in the can. So I actually asked for a glass because I could drink it faster out of a glass than out of a can. But no, I'm not very picky. I definitely I think my preferred glassware is probably just a Belgian snifter. I think that's a pretty good all around glass. It checks a lot of boxes. But yeah, I definitely don't mind drinking out of the actual packaging.
Cool. And then what's your favorite like food pairing? Like if you could think of one beer and food yes. item, like what are you going for?
Well, my favorite food and beer pairing, there's actually a video on the Three Sons Instagram. We have a little segment called Food to Drink Beer To. And in it, I paired Dopealicious with a Char Cup pepperoni pizza. But really, my favorite pairing is an Ocean Park Pilsner with our Char Cup pepperoni pizza. It's that cup and char pepperoni is just
so good.
So, yeah, so delectable. They cup up and they hold all the grease in there for you, just saving it. Like, they thought of me. They're like, hey, here, you know, I know you wanted to have this, so here it is. And it's just the right amount of like spicy, crispy, chewy, gooey.
Sounds so good. I'm so hungry. okay. Can
Available
you
only at Three Sons Brewing Company?
Okay, I'm coming immediately. So okay, have you ever done a keg stand?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, it's hard to find people who can cook and hold me up for a keg stand nowadays. But yeah, back in pre-college, I guess we could call it. I don't know how do we phrase it, right?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, I always feel like I was like, what if someone had enough arm strength to just do it themselves? Like, move.
A keg stand is definitely always going to be a team endeavor, though, because even if you could do your own like handstand on the keg, somebody's got to hold the hose for you.
Very true.
Unless you're doing like a one hand. I mean, that would be that
oh no, that's like Olympic
feat.
Level, like
yeah,
Olympic level beer drinking over here. The one thing I do love though is like the mini kegs
mm-hmm.
with the matching labeling on it.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys have ever done or ever would do?
We did. We did it. We did it for the Super Bowl. We had a limited offering of beers that we had a small one. I think it was 1 or 1.5 liter. It was like 1.5 liter kegs. Yeah.
Oh, they're just so aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, they're cute.
They're cute so cute. They're so cute. Okay, so. I mean, yeah, I mean, that is kind of all the most questions I have that I wanted to ask you. Is there, you know, anything else you want to mention? Any upcoming events?
Well, I'd like
beers?
To know what's your favorite. What's your favorite beer can of ours?
My favorite can? Let's see. Because there's a difference between like the simple ones and then the fun ones. And I mean, I really like that one, but I also really like the antique one, but that's not the fun ones. I mean, I really like the purple car with the Dopealicious. Is that Dope Shake? Yeah. And then whiskey, I'm sorry, I'll take you out in a minute. We just keep talking. we're just having a good conversation. I like all the car ones. I like the cat's a little weird looking. But the cat has
oh,
like,
far from east.
The cat is a little weird in the eyes.
Yeah, they're weird in the eyes.
But I do like that one.
I don't think the claws help either. The claws are a little menacing.
Yeah. I really like the one with the hands and the hops.
Oh yeah, that one was fun. We worked mm-hmm. With a local hospitality group to make that one.
Oh really? What was that?
Yeah. So we brewed it for International Women's Brew Day. It's called Who Hops the World Girls. We worked with Kush Hospitality to, you know, make that beer. The ladies actually came in to the brewery and they helped us make it. You know, they were helping us mill in. They even helped with the hop additions, the minerals for the water, everything. They were totally involved, very enthusiastic. It was great having them around.
That's so cool. I love that. And then also, like, I see the Green Monkey one you were talking about that goes with the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. I guess, but I keep on passing this damn picture of the pizza with the pepperoni.
It's so good.
It's literally torturing me. But anyways, so that's kind of all I have for you. Alex, it was so amazing talking to you. I had so much fun.
Hey. Thank you, Jenna.
Glad you... you wanted to chug that beer. I guess my work day is over. Maybe not. I don't know. I never know. But it was so great talking to you. Whiskey. Oh my God. Like scares me.
He's a wild boy.
Wild boy. But it was so nice to meet you. I can't wait to keep in touch. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Jenna. It was great being on.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Likewise. Thank you.
100%. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Alex. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my goodness. That was so much fun. Alex was so much fun to talk to. Cheers. Why was interviewing Alex from Three Sons just the most fun ever? I just want to be friends with him. Like, I was just cracking up so much. Oh my goodness. And, well, one thing I really loved that he said, one, loved learning about everything and all of it, but one thing I really loved that he said was, and like, I hope I'm not botching this, but he said, to me, beer is a lot like an orchestra. You got to hit all your cues the right time. And when you do, you're making beautiful music. And the brewery is like kind of music themed. So I just loved that. I mean, I personally hated orchestra growing up. I was a bit of a French horn player, may I say, so for myself. But I really liked how he said that. And then, honestly, anyone that gets me shotgunning on, like, when I'm doing, quote, work, I'm here for it. But he so obviously won. I have a very, very inflated sense of my shotgun abilities due to, well, I think in college I purposely poured half of it out and no one ever noticed. And so I always won. But here, I poured out some out by accident and then did it, still lost, and then realized there was still like an eighth of the can left. What? I'm terrible at that. So anyways, that's just how I'm going to move on from my life there. but yeah, anyways, just had the most fun talking to Alex. So to see the cans that we were talking about and everything. So it's Three Sons Brewing Co. on Instagram, where you can see all their cans and labels and everything. Ooh, what did they just release? Like in the past minute. And the food there looks so good. I want to be friends with Alex. I just want to go there and eat that pizza and drink beer with them. But anyways, so yeah, so keep up with Three Sons there. His handle, he said it before, I'll have to tag it because I can't get into my phone right now. But to make sure that you don't miss anything, it would be incredible if you clicked the follow or subscribe button, whatever is available to you on whatever you are listening to this on. So that way you get the next episodes and can hear what else we have to come. And if you want to see everything visual that kind of goes along with the episodes every week, you can go ahead and follow me on Instagram at beercanlover, because this is obviously, we're talking about art and then it's an audio format, so that doesn't really work. So gotta connect it to the Instagram so that you guys can see what we're talking about. And so check that out. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, shoot me an email at pod@beercanlover.com. That is pod@beercanlover.com. Well, oh God, today was so much fun. I like don't want to move on with my day after that. I'm just like, now I just want to like have fun. But what we got shit to do. So talk to you soon. See you next time. See you next week. And looking forward to it. Bye guys. Thanks for listening.